Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues is the name of this program. I'm Tim. And we appreciate you joining us on the show today. A lot to talk about. And joining us is, joining you, the listeners, joining us really, is Ed Vitagliano as co-host. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
Walker Wildman. Walker, how are you?
Good to be here this Monday.
You debuted with your Exposing Washington program at 2:30 on Central Time last on Saturday.
That's right. Yep. First time for the show to air on this past Saturday.
You went into the definition of cabal.
Yes. I talked about the cabal, what I believe is a cabal to take down President Trump, metaphorically take him down. You know, it's a term you often hear in action movies and stuff. You don't really think of it actually existing, especially in America. But I labeled it, laid out what a cabal is and who I think is a part of it. So it was very interesting.
Where can people go and listen to your premier show?
You can visit AFR.net. And on AFR, when you're on the AFR.net website, at the top of the page, you have a podcast link. And then you'll find my Exposing Washington podcast there.
So you can go and listen to Walker's. Walker's, I said premier show. It's the only show you have.
Yes, that's right.
But by premier, I meant first.
First. Yep.
First edition.
That's right.
Anyway, check Walker. So go if I want to listen to your show, from the half-hour show you did, the podcast, just go to AFR.net.
That's right.
All right, Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be here. I kind of got a preview of Walker's show on Friday.
Yeah?
Because we both joined Janet Medford on her program, because it was minutes after the FISA memo was released.
Yeah.
And we all said Walker had a made-for script for his show the next day.
Yeah, good timing there.
Oh, was it ever.
Well, we're not going to let any four-page FISA memo interrupt today, Trivia Friday, Fred. You know,
there are more important things.
You know the backlash we'd get if we interrupted Trivia Friday?
That is true.
Huh? For anything.
I don't care what it is.
What? I will never give another penny to American Family Radio if they interrupt Trivia Friday again. I have my convictions. Oh, me. All right, Fred, so we had a little game called the Super Bowl last night, didn't we?
We did. And
what happened, Fred?
In the interest of full disclosure, I'm probably the only person in the room that didn't watch it. So
I don't think you are the only person.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't watch it.
I watched it. Tim did.
Ed watched it. Walker watched it.
Now, I did check in every now and then, saw it was a close game, because everybody was saying New England was going to win. So, but then I saw the Eagles. Oh, my goodness, they're doing really well. And from what I've heard, it was an exciting game.
Well, it was very good.
Well, all right, this is where I didn't watch it. We normally have a Super Bowl party with some friends of ours, but we didn't do that this year because we were sour on the NFL, for the protests that had taken place, the take a knee thing. But I went ahead and judged. I judged you.
Yeah, you did Thursday, I think it was.
I judged Ed Thursday. And my own son didn't participate in it with me in this thing. You watched the game too, right?
Yeah, I watched.
So I'm judging you right now.
Do it. Do it.
So I'm judging them. I judge Fred, you and I are righteous. Okay.
Look, I exposed Washington on Saturday.
Yes.
So on Sunday, I can at least indulge myself in some.
You're getting points.
They,
now.
You know, they probably ate a bunch of fatty food, too.
Yes.
While you and I, well, I ate popcorn at the movie.
So. I had carrots and dip.
Hey, listen, for the Super Bowl, I went all out. This was the first year. I will say this. This is the first year we didn't go to a Super Bowl party because nobody was having any, so that we wouldn't get invited. We didn't get invited anywhere. But I really enjoyed watching it just by myself. My wife was she was reading something on Kindle, whatever. But Rotel dip with chips, man. I don't even want to look at the label to see what I consumed in terms of sodium and saturated fat.
Just last night alone. By halftime. By halftime, you had closed down an artery.
They were just talking about the game just before the national anthem was sung, and I told Diane, I said, hey, how about that Rotel cheese dip? She said, you want it now? Yeah, I said, I can't wait.
It's 4 o'clock. Got an hour and a half before kickoff. I can't take it anymore.
No, I waited until Pink sang the national anthem with the flu. She did a great job.
That was lip synced, by the way.
Was it really?
No, it was. They do that on purpose.
I didn't know that she lip synced.
The NFL requires you to lip sync the national anthem.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I read that. Yesterday,
just because you just can't
in case
hear.
Something goes wrong, like her voice goes out or something like that. That's what I read.
That's fascinating.
But about this, here's a couple good things that happened. I think one is there were no players that took a knee.
Right,
that's good
On either team. Mm-hmm. So now, keep in mind, and we talked about this last week, and the frustration with people like me, and you guys too, was directed mostly at the leadership of the NFL, Roger Goodell, and their decision not to make players respect the flag and stand for the national anthem. As a actual percentage of players, you know, it's been a vast minority, maybe 5% of players have actually participated in this 5-10% maybe in this take a knee protest that's been going on. So the vast majority of NFL players don't agree with that and stand for the national anthem. So it was good to see last night that none of them did. Mm-hmm. I think that they're, I don't think you had to send a memo down from the NFL offices. The players can read too. And they know that this is likely going to cause long-term damage to their brand and to their contracts and to their bottom line. And so they probably and I don't know which one of these players would have knelt normally anyway during the national anthem, but whoever they were, they decided not to.
Yeah, right. And I just want to say that the halftime show, I'm not endorsing Justin Timberlake's lyrics or who he his character.
Right.
But relatively, viewing all the Super Bowls that I've watched, that was the cleanest halftime show.
Okay.
As far as exposed skin and profanity.
He just sang and danced around, right?
Yeah.
No profane lyrics.
Right. And the
wardrobe malfunctions.
Right. And the women had appropriate attire on.
Okay.
So it was one that if my child's a little too young to be watching the Super Bowl, but if I had a 5, 6, 7-year-old, if he were watching the halftime show, I wouldn't have been covering his eyes.
Gotcha.
Like in years past.
So yeah. you had the no players kneel, and then you had the what did I just say? What did we just say here? No players kneel.
Huh? Wardrobes.
A clean halftime show, and you had the also the.
Well, they had the military veterans who were there, and the last survivor. From Iwo Jima that held the flag.
He
flipped the coin.
Wow.
My wife, who was just coming, as a matter of fact, I think she had just dropped off my cheese dip. She was walking out, and the announcer's saying, you know, welcome our veterans and the survivor so-and-so from Iwo Jima. My wife turned around and she said, what a bunch of hypocrites, talking about the NFL. Because they were clearly trying to show support for the military.
Right.
And
Also, the coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, what's his name?
I'm not sure.
I forget.
But he evidently a strong Christian.
Yes. Gave glory to God. So did Nick Foles, the quarterback. So did, I think, the linebacker that stripped the ball from Tom Brady at a key moment with a couple minutes left. I think he was the first one interview that I saw. He was a Christian. There's a bunch of Christians on the Eagles.
Wow.
Doug Pedersen or Peterson?
Pedersen.
Pedersen.
Yeah.
Is the coach.
Coach for the Eagles.
For the Eagles.
How are the ads? Because that was always been a concern, too.
I know there was one ad I noticed that was kind of a Black Lives Matter type, you know, ad.
Yeah, it was for some kind of black culture website or something.
Yeah, but other than that, I didn't recognize any. But I was just going to say that I didn't realize the Eagles head coach was apparently a high school football coach. 9 years ago.
Yeah, just a few, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
8 or 9 years ago, he's a high school coach and has made it all the
way. Now, the viewership was down, somebody said. And 8 years. Oh, here it is.
8 year
Drudge,
low.
Drudge. The viewership was down. Eagles soar with Super Bowl win, says Drudge. But ratings dropped to 8 year low. So I would guess the take a knee protest has cost the NFL probably 10% viewership for this Super Bowl. I don't know what the numbers are exactly, but they're going to have to try to rebuild their reputation with.
Yep.
With the fans out there, and we'll see what happens. You're listening to Today's Issues. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I was going to say a couple. I was talking to a couple walking out of our church service last evening. I said, you're going to watch your team. We're boycotting. He says he got a bumper sticker on his car.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot.
Which probably explains this.
Yeah,
8 year low in viewership, and you probably had a little Patriots fatigue built into that too.
Yeah.
All right,
Well, there's one more story related to the Super Bowl was the celebration on the streets of Philadelphia last night. I mean, we're talking thousands of people went out.
Right.
But unfortunately, one of the stories this morning is the riots. And part of the crowd at least turned mob-like. They broke a big window at Macy's there in downtown Philadelphia. They began looting. They turned over some vehicles, which, you know, you're celebrating a victory. Why would you behave like that?
Well, you had hoodlums. And
they mix in, I guess.
You got hoodlums mixed in, and they use this as an excuse to loot.
It happens in a lot of cities after they win a championship.
Yeah.
Not just the Super Bowl, but you know, NBA champions, and a lot of times these cities. I think it is. I think what you do is you have hoodlums who, under the cover of this – you know, celebration, they do what they would do if they could get away with it.
They know that police aren't going to – they can't be everywhere.
Right.
You got thousands of people out on the street. What a great time to loot
and
get away with it, you know.
But let me quickly add, our own Dan Celia, who is from Philadelphia, amongst the crowd.
Dan was not one of the looters?
No, he was not there.
That would be against his economic teachings on financial issues, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's talked about how wrong it is to steal before, and he often cites the Bible.
Yes.
So if Dan Celia were to go out and be caught looting,
out of Macy's
with a dress,
with a handful of sweaters.
Well, now if he's wearing a dress, that's going to double the problem.
Yeah, he's got more problems than just breaking
on our network, don't you think?
One of the Ten Commandments. Yeah.
You got American Family Radio. Not only are you looting, but you're also coming out wearing a dress. And we're saying Dan didn't do that, though.
That's right.
Let us be clear.
To assure our listeners, we'll have Dan on tomorrow so he can tell us himself.
Where were you, Dan?
He does need to clean this up, I think. We've started the mess, but Dan needs to clean this up because this is how rumors get started. You know, it can hurt a man's reputation.
If
you don't clear it up. So they got control of this.
Yeah, they did. And the mayor, very proud of the team. Obviously, there's going to be a big celebration, a proper celebration
the
there.
Parade. They usually have a parade.
Yeah. That'll be cool. They've never won the Super
Never
Bowl.
Won a Super Bowl. They won an NFL championship before the Super Bowl in 1960.
My goodness.
That is the last time Philadelphia won an NFL championship.
Kind of like Chicago Blackhawks. They went, They went without winning the Stanley Cup for, 50 years?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So these cities get to have this long, long drought.
Yeah.
And then, hey, I don't blame them for burning half the city down. what says I love my city better after a long drought from a championship than burning half of it down?
End quote.
Send your emails, folks, to Ed Vitagliano. All right.
Ed Rotel Vitagliano.
Rotel Dip.
All right. Well, maybe Ed was on his Twitter last night, like the president was this morning. President Donald Trump tweeted out this morning, I'm quoting here, folks, little Adam Schiff, who is desperate to run for a higher office.
This is a nursery rhyme, by the way. Is that what you're about? Is that what you're
little
reading?
Adam Schiff.
It may turn into that someday.
Okay. Sat on his chair, eating some chips.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Just to clarify, Adam Schiff is Democrat congressman.
He's the ranking member.
Ranking member.
Mm-hmm. On the Intelligence Committee.
Okay.
California.
So, all right, go ahead.
We've now moved
go back to your nursery rhyme, Fred.
Quoting the president. Little Adam Schiff, who is desperate to run for higher office, is one of the biggest liars and leakers in Washington. Right up there with Comey, Warner, Brennan, and Clapper. Adam leaves closed committee hearings to illegally leak confidential information. Must be stopped, end quote. And what the president is referring to there is that Adam Schiff, Congressman Adam Schiff from California, who's the ranking member, little Adam Schiff, from the Intelligence Committee, is responding to what happened, the big news on Friday, with the release of what people are calling now the FISA memo by the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Congressman Devin Nunes. And so we can review what was in the memo if you like. But Nunes was responding to all the criticism that he has received. Basically, the memo, and Walker can fill us in on all of this, the memo basically says that the FBI under James Comey and some of his helpers used a dossier. Folks have heard of us talk about this dossier before, which was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. They used that dossier, the FBI, to go to the FISA court to basically get a warrant to spy on some individuals within the Trump campaign. This would have been during the 2016 Trump campaign. Now, Devin Nunes, who chairs that committee, he went through all the hoops before the releasing of this. It has to be voted out of committee. It then has to be voted on by the House. It has to be cleared by the president, who did all of that, and it was released on Friday. Well, today, this morning, Congressman Nunes was responding to the criticisms from people like Adam Schiff, who say that Nunes has not been telling the truth, that he put out a half-baked memo that doesn't give all the details. Shame on him, jeopardizing national security. On and on it goes. So let's hear what Nunes had to say about all of this morning in this interview with Fox and Friends.
Whatever they accuse you of doing is what they're doing. So we know that there has been almost 100 leaks that we believe have come from the Democrats in the House Intelligence Committee. And as of right now, remember, a year ago, they were claiming that they had more than circumstantial evidence of collusion, of Trump colluding with Russians. But they keep coming up with goose eggs. They have nothing.
So there you have it. He's saying they have nothing, and the Democrats are really the ones. And the reason he's saying this collusion with the Russians, this dossier was basically authored by a former British spy. And he was paid
Christopher Steele.
Christopher Steele. He was paid, I think it was $160,000 by the Clinton campaign to get this dirt on the Trump campaign. So very politically motivated. And then the FBI, Steele has worked for the FBI. The FBI turns around and says, we have this information. Now, one of the biggest matters coming out of this FISA memo is this, folks, is that according to Nunes, when the FBI went to the FISA court is this court, as we reminded you before, was set up in the wake of 9/11 to try to catch terrorists in this country.
And the name FISA is an acronym for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
That's correct. They go to the FISA court with this dossier, but they don't tell the FISA court that this is a political document that was paid for and put together by people who hate Donald Trump.
Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Paying for it.
And Christopher Steele has been quoted as saying he hated Donald Trump.
Right.
Now, remember, there are other people in the FBI like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, his girlfriend. They don't like Donald Trump. We've already heard about their text messages during the election campaign, and that Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, who was just fired last Monday, that they mentioned him in their text messages that if Trump won, that McCabe had a plan B in order to, and maybe this resolves that mystery. So, Walker, I know you've dealt with this extensively. There was one other thing before we get to Walker I want to mention, and this as a journalist troubled me. During their presentation, the FBI's presentation to the FISA court, they use a Yahoo News article. Where did Yahoo News get their news article about allegations against Carter Page, who was, this is what this application was about, a volunteer with the Trump campaign? He got his information from Christopher Steele, the Yahoo News reporter, who is Michael Isikoff. So this dossier, one of the authors, Christopher Steele, gives information to this Yahoo News, and then the FBI uses the Yahoo News story to say, yeah, and further to the dossier, here's further information. And as it was called, that's circular journalism. That's what it is. There's only one source, but it makes it sound like there's many sources to this.
It's like laundering money. Exactly. It's what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't want all our information to come from this Steele dossier. So we're going to tell journalists about it. They write stories, and then we go to the FISA court and say, "Look, we have three independent sources saying it's absolutely corrupt."
Absolutely, Walker.
Yeah, there are two things here. There's two laws that could have been broken, and I think they were. Withholding exculpatory evidence, which means you know that the court needs to know this evidence. It's key to the warrant or the application, but I'm going to intentionally withhold it. That's one aspect. And you, of course, have perjury, which is entirely misleading a court, knowingly misleading a court with withholding facts. Those two fall in the same camp. But here's the thing. You cannot claim that the people filling out these applications and signing on to them didn't know that this was paid for by the Clinton campaign and half of it or more is unverifiable. You cannot prove it. So you can't disprove a negative because there's no there. But top officials in our government signed on to a warrant which was full of falsehoods. So that's misleading a court. So I don't know why people don't go to jail for this.
Well, and they not only didn't inform the FISA court when they went back to apply for an extension of time
every 90
for the
days,
surveillance.
They had to do that.
They still didn't tell the court
about
who paid for this dossier.
Yeah. And so when you sign, this is serious stuff. This is not running a stop sign. This is spying on American citizens. This is not spying on a foreign actor. We're spying on American citizens, and we're using false information to do so. And so no matter who you are, when you sign your name on the bottom of an application that everything listed above is truth, to the farthest knowledge I know, everything above listed is truth, but you know it's not truthful, not verifiable, that's misleading the court intentionally.
Yeah. Well, and the former deputy director of the FBI, and this is mentioned in the memo, but we knew this before, Andrew McCabe, the Democrats are trying to say the dossier was only one of several pieces of evidence that they took to the court. But Andrew McCabe, the deputy director who was fired last week, he even testified they would have had no basis for going to the court without this dossier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this dossier was absolutely pivotal, according to Mr. McCabe, in order to get this warrant to spy on Carter Page.
And the whole purpose of a FISA warrant is to spy on foreign people who may be influencing or conducting terroristic activities against the U.S.
Right.
The main purpose is not to wind up spying on a political opponent,
exactly,
which is what the Obama Department of Justice wound up doing.
Yeah.
So, question, this begs the question, what does Attorney General Jeff Sessions do about all this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can talk about that when we get back.
Sounds like a cabal to me.
And he's sort of all alone there
in
the Justice Department. We shall return momentarily.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
If God has their attention, God can work in them because he humbles us. It's not that he wants to bring tragic circumstances our way, but he uses those things to draw us closer to him.
We'll also hear news and analysis from newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. At spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Super Bowl 52 was a star-spangled celebration that focused on God and country. And when it came time for the national anthem, not a single person took a knee. The coin toss was left in the capable hands of Woody Williams, a 94-year-old Marine veteran, a Medal of Honor recipient. But the most poignant moment came after the Eagles claimed the Lombardi Trophy, when head coach Doug Pederson and quarterback Nick Foles gave glory to God for their Super Bowl victory. It tells me there may still be hope for the National Football League. They might just be able to win back their base. But the NFL still has a great big mess to clean up, and I'm not talking about that halftime show. They've got to get back to the basics, the X's and the O's. But most of all, the NFL has to stand up to the players who take a knee. A lot of fences to mend, but on Super Bowl Sunday, the NFL got it right. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, Trivia Friday will be Friday. Right in.
Yes, that's right. That's correct.
We'll have it on Friday.
No matter what happens on Thursday.
No matter. Hey, that's true. All right, so we're going to be here on Friday. Hey, just one other note of interest regarding the NFL. I did not know this. I was reading a story on The Hill, which is a publication and a website, which I don't know if that's considered a publication anymore, that covers politics, but they did have a story on the NFL, and they said here that not one of the 636 players on the 12 playoff teams have kneeled during any of the 11 playoff games played in 2018, including the Super Bowl. That's pretty fascinating.
Say that one more time.
Okay, they've had 12 playoff games.
Right.
Leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Which included 636 players.
Okay.
None of them knelt during the national anthem.
During the playoffs.
Yeah, or the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing, considering all the players and all the protests and, you know, the things that went on.
Now, this might be carrying tales here, But I was watching her, I think it was Herschel Walker on a talk show and was talking about this. He said he thought the NFL had paid the players not to kneel during the playoffs.
Well, here's what they did. He called it hush money.
Yeah.
Here's what did happen. The National Football League gave millions of dollars or committed millions of dollars to some organizations/causes that a group of players who were part of the kneeling group wanted to see funded.
Okay.
So, or at least, you know, in other words, the NFL was trying to say, whether you agree with them or not, their idea was, we'll give money to help inner city kids programs or whatever. Right. In return for you not kneeling.
Right.
But I don't know whether it was ever expressed explicitly, probably not in writing somewhere,
yeah.
Okay? But there's, you know, sort of a gentleman's understanding or an agreement that they wouldn't protest anymore if the NFL would give money towards these, some people would call that a shakedown.
Yeah. But some people would, absolutely.
call that a shakedown, but I'm just, however you want to view it, that's what people are saying. Mm-hmm. That's what Herschel Walker was talking about. And Herschel Walker, by the way, said he would absolutely not. I don't know if he said I would absolutely not kneel. What he said was these players should always stand in respect for the men and women who serve our country in the military. And what some of these players have said that I've heard, you know, it does help sometimes to listen to people who don't necessarily agree with your viewpoint, so you can try to learn from them on why they feel the way that they do. Now, with Democrats, that you can't do that. I'm talking about the Democratic politicians.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think you can. With maybe two or three of them, you can do that. But for most of them, they're disingenuous, and they just want to see the George Soros world take over our country.
Right.
But I'm talking about with these black players that took a knee, all right? Some of them did that. Again, I don't agree with it at all, but some of them did that not to protest the military. They would tell you it's a protest police brutality against young black males.
Right.
Now, we could go into that whole subject if you wanted to, but I'm just saying they tried to distinguish.
Yeah, I heard several of them do that.
Huh?
They wanted to make sure people understood. I'm not protesting the military. I'm thankful for what they've done.
Right. Or they weren't. Or they would say, I'm not protesting the country. I'm protesting this. Which, what happened is, if that's what they were protesting, it certainly got lost. It was the wrong way to do it. Because when you're protesting the national anthem and the flag of the country, you are protesting the country.
Yeah, all the turmoil and all the controversy was over the gesture, not what they were protesting. Everyone started arguing about whether you should kneel during the national anthem at that time, and that's what everyone was arguing about. And lost in the discussion was what they were apparently protesting. Most of the time, that's what
right.
Was.
Now, so anyway, that's what Colin Kaepernick, though, quite frankly, I think his cause was more than that. He's a social justice warrior. You know, it's not protesting just police brutality toward young black males. It was,
in fact,
America's bad.
I think Herschel Walker, if I'm the same interview, I think he said, I don't think Colin Kaepernick does that if he's the starting quarterback. The fact was he was hanging on to a job.
Right.
But if he was starting quarterback.
You know what Michael Jordan used to say, the greatest basketball player in the history of the world, by most people's opinions, he used to say he wasn't really going to get into politics as a national public sports figure because Republicans buy tennis shoes too.
Right. He had the big promotion.
Because some of the civil rights leaders like Jesse Jackson and others were, you know, saying, hey, you need to be out here with us doing this, that, or the other to stand up for social causes or whatever. And he was basically, I'm going to live my life as an example. But he said Republicans buy tennis shoes too. So anyway. But it's interesting to note, none of the playoff games, the 12 playoff games the NFL had, Nobody took a knee, and they didn't last night. So maybe that's over. And I guess for the sake of the NFL, they better hope it's over because, you know, it could continue to damage their brand. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. On to the next story, Fred.
Yes, the headline is Trump says no deal on DACA without a wall. And so we're back on that once again, talking about this deal that the president has proposed, that he is willing to give a pathway to citizenship to some 1.8 million Dreamers. Now, that takes you beyond DACA. We have to remember, 1.8, the Dreamers are all those who came across the border illegally with their parents many years ago. Yes, the former president, Barack Obama, set up a program called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA. If these young people registered under that program, they could stay for an extended period in this country. So what the president is doing, he's taking that subgroup of the DACA, of the Dreamers, and saying, I'm going to expand it all. And it may take 10 or 12 years, but I will offer you a pathway to citizenship. But he says, in return, I want at least about $25 billion to build the wall in the southern border. I want to end chain migration and also lottery visas or visa lotteries. And so the Democrats are saying, no, there's no way you're going to get that.
Why would you say no to that?
Well, this is what's difficult to understand. Only if you believe really what the Democrats want, they don't want a wall. They do not want any extra security on our southern border because, as we stated before, they want more and more people coming into this country from third world countries. They become citizens, and you have Democrat government forever and ever and ever. That's the belief in that.
Well, if you're a Democrat, that might explain it. But if you're a Dreamer, okay, the person you described earlier, they call them Dreamers. I'm not too happy with the Democrat Party if they're going to say no to President Trump. If he's saying to me, I will give you a pathway to citizenship and your immediate family, and in return for a border wall, what do I care whether there's a border wall if I'm living in Chicago and I've been here for 25 years and here I have a chance to have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, this is part of the squeeze that Democrats find themselves in, because they will have part of their base angry at them, those who are supporting the Dreamers and supporting, you know, DACA and the extension of it and all this kind of thing. They're going to be angry at Democrats while Democrats are struggling to hold on to their long-term strategy, which I think is exactly as Fred has described. Their long-term strategy is continuing to allow people, immigrants coming in from what I would just describe as primarily socialist Latin America. These are socialist countries who will vote for socialist policies once they get here. And that is what the Democrats want, but they're going to have a hard time defending this cut your nose off to spite your face view of what Trump is offering them.
I think they're for the genuine Dreamers, if the Democrats are going to say no, you know, based on say no to this, to having these people have a pathway to citizenship, just to block a wall from being built, it seems to me that makes no sense at all, because what you're saying is, no, I'm really not concerned about the Dreamers and the righteousness of their cause so much as I am, we got to keep that wall from going up, because to your point, Fred, we got to keep flooding America with illegals. One day make them legal and be the death of the Republican Party and welcome to socialist America. That's what the Democrats want, which is, quite frankly, the destruction of our country. Is that what you're?
That's the way it is. And what's amazing in this is, I mean, the president is facing opposition from Republicans. What do you mean you're willing to give citizenship to these 1.8 million? I mean, he's catching a lot of flack from the conservative side for making such a generous deal. Remember, he's gone three times beyond what the Democrats wanted initially.
But don't you think he's outfoxed them here?
Oh, I've said that all along. Yeah.
Well, what is the move that President Trump's really making here?
Well, he's overplaying the Democrats' hand, meaning he's offering something he knows they will not go along with, and at the end, it will be blamed on the Democrats for not reaching a deal on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, I don't know why, with the Republican-held House, Senate, and White House, why we are spending weeks negotiating a Democrat party platform idea, which is amnesty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did President Obama give Republicans 3-4 weeks to come up with a deal on a wall? No, there was no discussion of what Republicans want done when they're not in control, because that's part of being the party of control. You control the legislative agenda. But unfortunately, our country's been pushed so far to the middle, I guess, or the left, that we spend months negotiating on what the Democrats want done, rather than making the Democrats come on our side and talk about the wall and how we want it built. But at the end of the day, I think the best thing that could happen is nothing is done, which means status quo, which status quo is better than amnesty for millions. And it would mean that immigration and customs enforcement can deport people who are in our country illegally. And we may not have a wall, which is unfortunate, but I would rather not have a wall than have amnesty.
Yeah, you define amnesty as a pathway to legal citizenship where they can vote, because there has been some discussion, you know, among the Republicans about the Goodlatte bill.
Right.
Goodlatte?
Yeah, that's right.
The representative from Virginia, which would basically give them these Dreamers legal status, but not voting rights.
Yeah, it's basically a work permit. A
green card, similar to a green card status?
Yeah, I don't think it's as good as a green card. I think a green card is better. It's closer to citizenship, but it's a work permit. So that way, someone who is in our country illegally can go to work and pay taxes without having to be fearful of getting pulled over for a speeding
ticket. But they
don't
get voting privileges.
No voting privileges.
What happens after the 3 years?
You could renew it, your work permit. I think if you do that, but also enforce the wall and other things, I think people will start self-deporting, because they will realize that this is too many hoops to go through.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who didn't want to fill out an application online to come into the country legally. Mm-hmm. They just decided they would cross the border. So to think they're going to go through a 15-year process of paperwork and fines and tests, citizenship tests and stuff, I don't think they're going to do it.
Let me add, Fred, you're the only one we've got here who's you're closer to an illegal immigrant than anyone else here. No, you've got a green card. You're here legally from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. You may know this as you know, the head of our news department. Maybe you've heard the answer to this question. But these young people that are here under DACA, whose parents came here illegally, had the kids here. These kids have grown up.
No, these aren't. If you're born here, you're an American citizen right away.
Naturalized.
Okay. All right. So these are kids that came. They were very young.
Yeah.
But they've been here their whole lives, 20 to 25. All right. So let's say they came. The parents are Mexican citizens, came here with their little kids, and they've grown up here. Are those kids citizens of Mexico? Can they go back to Mexico?
Yes.
They can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because even though they've been here all their lives, they are considered. Does Mexico have dual citizenship?
I'm not sure about that, but they would be Mexican citizens because that's where mom and dad and the kids were born.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So they could, these young people, maybe 20, 25 years old, they could go back to Mexico.
Yeah.
There'd be a place to go back to, in other words.
The argument for giving citizens is an emotional one.
Right.
It's not a legal one. They have no legal right to be here. It's an emotional one,
right.
And it's really interesting. I mean, you're seeing, obviously, the mainstream media is with the Democrats on this, but you also have denominations across this country, you know, whether it's Roman Catholics or evangelicals. A Southern Baptist church, I think, is in South Carolina. Baptist Press featured, they have an associate pastor who's a DACA, and they So you've got a lot of emotional arguments that are involved with this outside of the legal one, which is very clear.
Right.
They are in the country illegally. What President Trump is offering to do, 10 to 12 year period, you can earn your citizenship once again. But that's not good enough for the Democrats. That's not good for all of these forces who are basically open border people. They want the border open to everyone. Here's an interesting story. One of the leading Latino civil rights leaders in this country is now facing impeachment from his fellow Latina activists because he said he's willing to go along with the Trump deal.
Mm.
They said, no way. He's one of the leaders. Now, forgive me for not remembering the gentleman's name. He's in California. But here's the leader of that community says, this is a good deal.
Yeah.
This gives a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million of our young people. They're saying no. And here's why. And one of the people who wants this guy impeached, he says, we don't want a wall.
Right.
We don't want a wall.
Why?
Basically, they don't want a wall because they want
to be able to go.
They want millions
back and forth,
more coming back in.
Open borders.
Open borders.
And they may be able to have the best of both worlds because California is registering illegal immigrants to vote. So why?
You can't do that, can you?
They're doing it.
Not for a federal election.
Right, no, for statewide elections.
State elections.
You know what? California, I say cut them loose. let them have their, let them do their Cali exit.
Yeah.
Because it will implode.
They're imploding now.
If California, you know, the liberal, you know, you heard the old expression, liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberal, socialistic, progressive ideas, real life ideas implemented through legislation, local laws, whatever they, it can't, it's unsustainable. It collapses. All right. And it will in California.
Like Venezuela.
Yes, saying, it will ultimately collapse because it can't, it is, like I said, it doesn't work. It's illogical in the end. So, for example, in California, let them register all the illegals.
Well, you know what's funny? Let's say they register all these illegals, give them the right to vote in state elections. What if somebody puts forth a proposition and the state overwhelmingly votes for it to make California a part of Mexico?
Yeah, let them
That'd
do it.
That'd be great.
Well, I mean, what
can stop them?
What are the Democrats in California going to do if all these people, these illegals that they registered, vote to do that?
Or what are they going to redistribute the wealth? What if they vote? I did see where some city in California is giving everybody in the town $500.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know where they're getting that money from, but just let them do that because you're seeing the homelessness rise.
Right.
California has the top poverty numbers in America now. I believe I saw that the other day, number one. Now, they're also the 10th largest economy in the world.
Right.
It's still a very wealthy state, huge. But it's going to go downhill the more and more socialism and progressive ideas start to
Yeah, and the whole immigration debate is is really centered on, a lot of it centered on emotions. And it's on both sides. For me, I'm thinking, I don't like the term dreamer. Because my son was born in America legally, and we pay taxes, he's a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to have a future. So why should we put the foreigners in front of our own children? Let's take care of our own cities, our own communities, who are filled with drugs and crime first.
Yeah.
Then let's show compassion to other people. We're a very passionate country to claim we're not because we won't grant amnesty to people. That's not a fair argument.
And to Walker's point, you'll remember a line from the State of the Union address by the president last week. He said, all Americans are dreamers.
Yeah, I like that line.
And you got a protest over that. What was he saying? Was he saying exactly what Walker is saying?
Well,
living the American dream.
The reason they were protesting is because his making that statement drains the emotion out of the argument for illegal, for amnesty.
That's yes. right.
And they don't want you to drain the emotion out of that mm-hmm. and put it over here in this.
Yeah.
They want to keep the emotion over there on their side.
Exactly. My position on this, because it doesn't sound like mine's going to prevail, although was basically what Representative Goodlett from Virginia proposed.
Yes.
And that is a legal status for these folks, but never voting privileges or never full citizenship. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But that's better than being deported.
Right.
Right?
True.
And keep in mind, you are talking about people, you know, who are here in America, and this is the only country they've ever known. They were brought here as children, so this is the only country they've ever known. What do you say? They're in their 20s, most of them.
Mm-hmm. 20s, some of the 30s.
In their 20s. So, I mean, throw stuff at the radio if you want to, folks. But I just don't believe it's right to.
Well, and the Goodlett bill does
right.
extend an olive branch.
I just don't believe it's right to have attitude that.
What's
you send them back to their country of origin
yeah.
when they've never even known a country of origin. They may not even speak Spanish. So what do you do with them? That's right. the question. What do you do? What's the compassionate and humane thing to do?
That's the unfortunate thing is people like you and me and others
right.
say, yeah, let's work something out. And then we propose something like the Goodlett bill,
right.
which provides work permits.
Right. A legal status.
Yeah, a form of legal status. You're protected from being deported. But then the Democrats say, no, we don't want that.
Well,
so that shuts off negotiations.
But wouldn't that only prevent them from voting in federal elections? Could they not still vote in local elections?
I think states determine their own.
Okay,
right.
Well, then let yeah. them determine it.
Yeah.
Let states determine it, like California, whatever, like that.
Right.
But you can't allow these folks, to me, to vote for president or mm-hmm. for...
Well, the reason right. Democrats, another reason Democrats don't want to do what you just said, Tim, is because, yes, California can let them, that like the we're talking about these dreamers, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. who get to vote in California. The Democrats don't want more dreamers voting in California because it's already blue.
Right.
They want dreamers voting in Texas. But if states determine who gets to vote, those green card dreamers aren't going to be given voting rights in Texas.
Okay.
That's why Democrats are fighting against the Goodlett bill. They want these people to have legal voting rights everywhere so they can turn states like Texas purple yes. or blue.
Right. It's a political strategy of the Democratic Party, the George Soros-funded Democrat Party, to change America to be permanently socialistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Right? I mean, that's their objective.
Yes.
So if you can flood the country with millions and millions of illegal immigrants and then turn them into legal citizens somewhere along the way, then you can change the country because these folks are coming from socialistic countries.
Right.
Here's an interesting comment on Facebook. Eric said, I am Filipino. We waited 8 years and spent thousands of dollars to get here legally. It is so unfair to legalize those who come here illegally.
That's right.
So for someone who spends 8 years and thousands of dollars to get here legally, that I could see that frustrating them.
I think I think that's the majority of opinion, in America. But that's a little bit different question when it comes to the DACA
right.
situation. When you're talking about people who were brought here as children,
mm-hmm.
and this is the only country they've ever known.
Right.
They're not guilty of the things that their parents did, okay, which was breaking into America.
Right.
right. Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry, however you want to phrase it, that's basically what you did. You broke into a country illegally.
Right.
Whatever reason you want to say that you came here. And by the way, as we've noted here before, Mexico doesn't tolerate this.
Nope.
On their southern border,
yeah,
they do not tolerate you coming into their country illegally. They send you back or worse.
Not to live in Mexico.
No.
They'll let you come through Mexico on your way
yeah.
to the U.S.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.